Hi, everyone. In every single big leap I have ever made in my life, my whole body said, yes, absolutely, not just once, but over and over again, and increasingly so with time, while my whole mind said, there is no way, there is no way that we could make this happen, there is no way that this could be. And I really believe that our hearts pry open our minds when something matters enough to us, and out of nowhere and out of no way, a way can be made if you let the heart lead you. The heart knows truths the mind cannot yet understand, and if we pay enough attention to what the heart is trying to tell us, the nudge and the sensation begins to form itself into a sort of idea or a vision. What our dreams need is our attention, because before they are dreams, they are little inklings of inspiration or a sense of awe or of interest. And then if we give them enough of ourselves, they begin to root more deeply inside of us. And what dominates our attention is what becomes our most dominant reality. And so shifting that reality is very often a matter of shifting that attention first. When we're talking about following the heart, you know, we're not just talking about the chest center of your body. We're talking about the culmination of all of your subconscious wisdom and knowledge that communicates with you, not through your stream of conscious thought, but through your body, through your mind body. Like think of your heart as really a combination of, yes, what you love and quite possibly what does light you up in that chest-centered place, but also your gut, also your instinct, also those little minor contractions or expansions in which your body is speaking to you. So we're talking about moving past just logical thinking into a more holistic bodily intelligence where kind of our whole system is working together. And I think that something that holds us back from operating in this way, even though we want to, is because when we start following those sensations inside of us, they lead us to things that we often don't think or know are even possible. But unrealistic is only what someone has not yet made real, truly. And when you begin to expand your perimeter of possibility, which is what I call the unconscious collection of information about human life that you have been adding up since the day you were born. So every person you've ever been exposed to, every story you've ever heard, everything you've ever witnessed has culminated into a perception you have. It's mostly subconscious about what life is or how life must be or how life will be. And then what happens is you meet an expander. You meet someone or something that shakes and really corrects the perception you have because they're already existing outside of it. And then they become a way shower to you. But in the same way that like people and experiences can be expanders, your dreams are also your expanders. Your catalysts are also your expanders. Your lows are also your expanders. Your losses and your failures. So it's not only just the sense of knowing what you want, but it's also the sense that deep down you understand there's a discomfort within you that you can't quite level out. The ways in which you know something is a little off, but you don't yet know how to course correct. I can tell you that every single time I have been confronted with that feeling, that lingering sense within myself, that something was off, but I didn't see a clear path forward, every single time, it was because I was meant to forge some kind of path all my own, something that did not exist before it was asking to come into existence through me. And so what you're being called to do is to spend time with the what, to make a map of it, to have the courage to think non-linearly, to zoom out from your current life and imagine and re-envision something entirely new. I really believe that every single one of us alive has a great calling within our hearts. And that phrasing, great calling, can be confusing to the ego that wants to assume great is equivalent to scale or visibility. We think our great callings are not legitimate if they don't lead to some kind of like worldly, physical, material success. So the ego thinks of your great calling as the way in which you become most validated by others. But I really believe that at a soul level, we understand our great callings are really often far more intimate than that. They are the roles we take in our relationships. They are how we heal, how we soften, how we create a little universe of our own design within this world and invite others into it. They are how we grow to become most comfortable with who we actually truly are, how we open ourselves to the experience of a life most fully and beautifully lived, and how the ripple effect, the butterfly effect, changes everything, really and truly changes everything. And I really do believe that our first assignment is ourselves. We are the only thing. The only thing we have full and complete jurisdiction over. And so where we do have control, I believe we're meant to exert control. But the thing about our true callings is that if they don't bring us to a deeper place of peace, fulfillment, meaning, beauty, and joy, it's not our true calling. And so many of us are kind of bypassing or overlooking those true callings that are trying to come through to us and bring our attention to them, because we're always looking for something bigger. And I think what I want to really encourage you to sit with is the idea that it's very possible you're unclear about, you know, what you really want or who you want to become, because you're trying to kind of aggrandize some version of it in your mind when your heart is giving you very simple instructions that the calling of this time of your life is to learn love or friendship, to be more present, to create without, you know, expectation of what will come with it or what will come from it, you know? But with that said, whether simple or complex, whether private or public, you know, however the great calling comes to you, I think the most common thing within it is that it does involve moving out of your current stream of consciousness, out of your social conditioning, and definitely out of your comfort zone. And that journey, that leap from the life you know into the one you don't, but sense with every part of your body you're supposed to have, you know, that's where the magic happens. That's where your faith is formed, and that's where your strength is built, and that's where you as a person, you know, really come into your own. It's through that that you come to find it was really never so much about the pursuit of the life you thought you wanted, but the pursuit of the kind of person you'd have to become in order to have it. Most of us stay stuck in the lives we have because we are focusing on the how we would do it and not the what very specifically we even want to do differently. And I think that this applies a lot to what people will refer to as like writer's block. though, of course, I guess in this context, it's more about like life block. I don't know. But writer's block is when you either don't know what you're trying to say, or you're trying to say it in a way that's too far removed from the way you would naturally think or speak, and so you get stuck. But life is kind of just like that, which is that you have a blueprint inside of you, and it's a matter of not only getting it clearly within your head, because of course the heart tells us where we are going, and over time the mind maps the route to get there, but also getting past and rewiring many of the beliefs that create those blocks in the first place and keep us stuck. And of course, you know, there are so many of them, and we'll have to unpack them on a different episode. But, you know, a lot of them relate to the sense of life cannot be good, loving, happy, positive. You know, we really hold ourselves down just based on this perception that this is what it must be. This is all it can be. This is what, you know, this is the end of the line. And then the miracle of it all is that despite every part of our brains thinking that, there is still a little flicker in our hearts saying, but I bet there's more. But I bet I'm here to know love. But I bet I'm here to create something I'm really proud of. And so in the same way that you either need to understand what you're trying to say or get comfortable saying it in a way that's authentic to you in order to write fluidly and often, your job in your life is to get that clear on what you're actually asking for or desiring, and to hold it and embrace it without shame or judgment of whether it's too big or too small or too simple or too unrealistic or, you know, whatever mental blocks kind of crop up around it. Because the more you hold it inside of yourself, the how you're going to do it will become self-evident in time when you truly understand what you are even asking for. When you are standing at what seems like an endless stream of impossibility, and yet that tiny little spark of hope is still inside of you, and you are left wondering, you know, is this worth the risk? Is this the right thing? Is this even what my heart is telling me? I want to tell you 5 questions you can ask yourself that will truly help you make the right decision about anything. Number 1, would I become a better person for having done this? So instead of what would this do for me, the question is, who would this make me become? Who would this necessitate me being as a person? Would I get to the end of my life and look back and realize that I was better for this being in my life? I became more of who I wanted to be and not less. Number 2, does it give me a resounding yes feeling? And more importantly, has that yes feeling grown with time? So emotional consistency is what you're looking for here. So it's not the dream that passes your mind once or twice. You know, it's not a fleeting thing. It's the one you keep returning to. It's the sense about which grows with time, increases with time, strengthens with time. You feel more affirmed in time. Number 3, have I experienced any serendipitous moments that have foreshadowed or even affirmed this decision? You know, I really believe that traces of our future tend to line our history. And so when you think about this, was there anything along the line that was kind of a clue or a hint or an odd coincidence of sorts? Because our lives tend to prepare us for our purpose in unique ways. And the pieces do all seem random until, you know, you have them all on the table and the picture starts to come together and you realize, oh, the answer was right kind of there all along. And so you probably will be able to identify at least some of that, you know, within this path and journey, which is, you know, I always kind of wanted to do that. I already had a sense about this, or that was always a skill of mine or a talent, or I've always thought about that. So there's some kind of consistency, something that grows with time, something you continuously return to. Number 4, do I feel some fear? You know, they say when it's the right thing, you're like 90% sure and 10% terrified, but that 10% matters because without that trace of fear, you're probably not doing something you care about that much. You know, fear is a protective mechanism inside of us. You know, it's what arises when we want to keep something safe. And when we're talking about something we care about so much, that's so true to us and would make us so vulnerable. Of course, we're going to feel fear. Also, you know, when we start pivoting off of the path that was, you know, probably at least in some part predetermined for us onto one that's, you know, more true to us and that we are generating and creating in real time, we're stepping into the unknown, you know, a profound amount of unknown. And so that too comes with fear. And, you know, that fear, you can't confuse fear for disinterest. You know, when it's not right for you and it's not something that matters and it's not something that you should choose at the end of the day, it's not because there's an absence of fear, it's because there's an absence of interest. And so that fear is really actually critical for letting you know that you're really onto something meaningful and important. And number 5, do the people who most love me agree that this is good for me? So this is not, you know, what would the general public think? Not what the people who don't really like me think. What would the people who truly have your best interests at heart think or say about this? Because those are the opinions that you really do need to value and listen to. You know, the people who can possibly see blind spots, the people who know you very, very well. And while staying true to what you know in your heart, even if no one else fully sees it, is important, it's also important to take into consideration opinions you very much value. And in this case, it would really be from those who you know, truly know, would not lead you astray and want you to become, you know, the happiest and most fulfilled version of your own self. Every single thing that has ever turned out beautifully within my life has followed this very similar pattern of that overwhelming yes feeling, like the biggest yes I've ever had, but then also a valley of impossibility standing between me and that thing. And then like a relentless nagging that would not let me forget it. And then, you know, eventually the committing to it so much and so often that eventually a way was made. I've, you know, talked about this here and there, but I had a dream of living in California, specifically in a rural-ish mountain town where I wrote all of my books. And for years, I was just like mentally running up against a wall. It's just, I was like, it's impossible. There's nothing to rent. I can't afford it. I can't live out there. I can't leave my friends. I mean, it just went on and on and on. But that what of living here stuck with me for so long that I began to realize this wasn't like a passing, fleeting interest. This was a calling. And so I started to follow that instinct and I started visiting and meeting people and asking questions and found, you know, there are places to live in the community, but you're not going to find them on apartments.com. And so, you know, there were all of these things that I had to learn, but that desire and interest was really trying to pull me into the learning of them. And what I found was the more I followed that impulse and that interest, and the more it strengthened with time, the more connections I made, things started to come together. What once seemed impossible at one point started to become more and more feasible until now it's just my everyday life and I don't even think anything of it. Rather than just staring at the vision head on, I started dissecting it and I started asking not could I do this, but just how? And that's such an important part of the process as well, which is that you don't think of if, you think of just how. And to be around people who believe in you enough that your conversations are not, could you do this, but how could we get this done? How could we make this happen? And truthfully, writing books was somewhat similar as well, which that I had this kind of overwhelming feeling that this is what I was meant to do. And, you know, there were bills to pay and student loans and, you know, people don't make a living from writing books for an independent publisher. But the fire inside of me just couldn't let it go. I couldn't extinguish it. I couldn't run from it, though I tried, I promise you. And I eventually did go all in on those books and a way was made for me there. And, you know, it was really rooted in the fact that I had this unshakable growing sense that this is what was meant for me, even though everything on the outside told me it's just unrealistic, you know? And then I began this journey of understanding, okay, that desire is wanting to be birthed through me. It's not realistic because I haven't made it real yet. You know, this is not something that's being given to me. It's a gift that's meant to be given through me. And my life is not the only one better for having followed that calling. And I think that, you know, many people will find the same to be true, which is that it's never just about what you do for yourself. It has an effect on everyone around you, both visible and invisible. And I think what matters the most is remembering that desire is a roadmap to the version of you who already has what it is you want. Desire is not random. It's not fleeting. It is something deep inside you attempting to bring your attention to something that wants to be created through your being in your lifetime. And that thing can be as simple as peace. It can be as big as a career. It can be as different as moving across the country. It can be as hard as opening your heart again. It can be as important as community building. It really doesn't matter what it is. I don't think the universe sees scale. I think it just responds to truth. what is true consistently. So not what is passing, not what piques your interest and then goes, what is true and becomes even more true over time. And when you become aware of that, the courage to ask becomes the willingness to receive. And so I really do hope you will explore those contours of your heart. And I hope you will not rest until whatever is living inside of you is out in the world. And I hope you will know that while life is never perfect, because without the contrasts, we couldn't grow or evolve, it is absolutely possible to at least find yourself at a place of peace. You know, not that you are always happy or on a high, but that you know that you have a life worth living, a life worth fighting for, a life worth telling stories about, and a life you are truly proud of, one you built from your heart, from the inside out, at the end of the day.